You're listening to The Buzz About Bees, a podcast about bees and beekeeping. I'm your host, Larissa, commercial beekeeper and the owner of Beekeeping Made Simple, online beekeeping classes. And I wanted to share with you our book that we have out now. It's called The 7 Steps to Getting Started Keeping Bees in Your Own Backyard. And it is free for our listeners. So head on over to our website, beekeepingmadesimple.com, to download your free book. And it's not a long book, but it is everything I wish I had learned before I got started keeping bees, and all the things I've learned over the years while teaching people how about bees and beekeeping. And I hope you enjoy. This week's podcast is going to be about the queen bee. Now, when I used to work for a bee farm here in Hawaii, we had a beekeeping museum where I would give a tour and open up a beehive and show people what goes on in a beehive. And what most people found the most fascinating and was by far the most fun to talk about was the life of the queen bee. And that's what I want to talk about on this podcast today. So you have a beehive, and a beehive is essentially a family of bees. Average beehive has 30 to 60,000 honeybees in it, and usually only one of those tens of thousands of bees is the queen bee. She is the mother of probably almost all of those bees in the hive, with the exception of maybe some stragglers that decided to come in and make their home there as well. But for the most part, all 30 to 60,000 bees in that hive are siblings, except for that one queen bee who is the mom of them all. In a lot of European countries, I've noticed that people call her the mother bee, actually, not the queen bee. However, here in the US, people like to call her the queen bee. And I like calling her the mother bee instead of the queen, personally, because it's a better name for her. The queen bee, she's not the one in charge. She is not the one giving orders. She's more so a slave to the hive. She is the one laying eggs. She can lay up to 2,000 eggs a day, which I just want to stop for a moment and comprehend what that means. That's more than an egg a minute. Each egg hatches to a honeybee, either a male or a female bee. That is a lot of eggs to have a day, and it's not like only a small percentage of these eggs actually hatch into a honeybee. Almost all of them will. So this queen is laying up to 2,000 eggs a day, and that's it. So to backtrack and to maybe give you the full picture of the life of a queen bee, I'm going to start from the beginning. When a queen bee hatches, she is about the same size as the worker bees. She's a little bit different body shape, but only an experienced beekeeper would really be able to tell the difference between her and any of the other worker bees, any of the worker bees in the hive. So this queen bee hatches, and the bees do not pay any attention to her. She is just like any other bee in the hive. She walks around for a few days, eats some honey, and then she decides she's going to leave the hive and go on her mating flight. Now this queen bee leaves, and she's gone for a few hours, and when she flies outside of the hive, it's the first time she's flying by herself. It's the first time she's flying at all, and she leaves the hive, and while she's flying, she releases this pheromone. And the drones, which is what we call the male bees, pick up on this pheromone, and they chase off after her. They call it a comet's tail, actually. This poor queen bee is just being followed in the air by so many drones, over 50 drones. It just looks like a comet's tail trailing behind this poor little queen bee. And while flying in the air, a drone will catch up with the queen and mate with her while she's flying. And unfortunately for the drone, after they're finished mating, his testicles explode. I've read that you can hear a little bit of a popping sound, and the drone goes tumbling to the ground with his part still inside the queen bee, and another drone then takes that opportunity to go do his thing with her, and the queen will mate up to 30 drones. She might go back out the next day for another couple of hours, And that's it. That mating she did in that 1 to 2 days, as I said, for the rest of her life. I can only imagine that if that was how mating went, that you would never want to do it ever again either. So I don't really blame her. It's not really a surprise. She never wants to go out and mate ever again. Now, she has this sac inside her body that stores up all that sperm from all that mating she did. She will go back to the hive, and now the worker bees accept her as their queen. They will clean her up, and from that point on, she will have attendants that follow her around all day long. These attendants are the worker bees, and they will feed her, they will clean her, and this is because she's laying up to 2,000 eggs a day, so she doesn't have the time to leave the hive the way that the worker bees do to go to the bathroom. She goes to the bathroom right in the hive, and they clean it up. And although she does eat some honey, the queen gets a special food as well. You can imagine that if you're going to be laying that many eggs, you're going to need more nutrients, more protein than a diet of honey. And so the queen bee is the only adult bee in the beehive that gets fed royal jelly. Royal jelly is this special substance that can only be found in a beehive. It is something that only the worker bees can produce, and they secrete it from a gland in their head. So the queen bee cannot make royal jelly herself. She only consumes it. And the drones, the males, they can't make royal jelly either. It's only the worker bees that can produce royal jelly. They secrete it from a gland in their head, and they feed it to the queen bee. Now the queen bee, she can live a few years. On average, 2 to 3. Here in Hawaii, I've never seen a queen live more than maybe 2.5 years. And that's because the queen is laying eggs all year round. Most places you have a winter, you have a time of year when the queen is not laying eggs, the bees are not leaving the hive, they're clustered up just trying to produce heat to keep warm, and they're almost in like a hibernation mode. But here in Hawaii, that never happens. Queen is laying eggs year round, and so she has a much shorter lifespan. Now, the oldest recorded queen was 7 years old, which is really amazing to think about because the worker bees and the drones only live a month or two. In Hawaii, they're living about 3 to 6 weeks is their average lifespan. On the mainland, it's more like 6 to 8 weeks, and if it's winter time, they could live a few months. But the queen is living years, so she's outliving her children by quite a bit. Now, the reason why I bring that up while talking about royal jelly is because some people think that royal jelly is this fountain of youth. And that's because the worker bees don't eat royal jelly as an adult. They eat nectar, which also has a little bit of pollen in it. The queen bee, however, is almost entirely, her diet is almost entirely royal jelly. And the fact that she's living about 10 times longer than her daughter makes some people wonder what the hell is in this stuff that she's living so much longer. So the jury is still out on what the deal is with royal jelly. It's a really popular substance, super expensive. I don't like to eat it. I don't like to purchase it because I don't like how it is harvested. I don't like that you're raising baby queen bees just for the sake of killing them to scoop out minute amounts of royal jelly, but it's a whole nother podcast. Either way, the queen is fed royal jelly by her attendants. That's pretty much it. She does not care for her young. The worker bees, her daughters, will feed this baby bee. They'll stand on top of the frames to keep them warm, and they'll protect them. They will sting intruders that they think are posing a threat to the hive. The queen does not protect the babies. She does not feed them. She doesn't keep them warm. She could care less. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure she cares about them, but she does not assist in taking care of them. Now, when you're looking in a hive, it can be hard to find the queen. Usually, if you're looking for her, if you are specifically setting out to find the queen, that's what you want to look for first on a frame. And that's because After that initial mating flight the queen goes on when she is just a couple days old, she doesn't leave the hive. She stays in the hive, which is dark. So you can imagine that if you're in darkness all day, every day, for weeks, and all of a sudden you're pulled out into the bright sunlight, you're going to go running for cover. And that's exactly what most queen bees do. They will try to hide in a crevice or under a whole bunch of bees. So it can be a little tricky to find her. Now, the queen bee is bigger than the worker bees. She doesn't really weigh much more than the drones. The drones are pretty large too, but the drones are width-wise pretty large and kind of round, almost like the shape of a bean, whereas the queen is narrower but long and skinny. And the drones, they have a round bottom because they don't have a stinger. The queen bee, just like all the other females in the hive, does have a stinger. Now, the queen stinger is not barbed, so if she was to sting you, she would not die. The stinger would not get stuck under your skin. She would be able to pull it out and go on her way, just like the way wasps are. However, it's really hard to get a queen bee to sting you. I've never been stung by a queen and never met a single beekeeper who has. But if she was to sting you, she would not die. So the queen bee is inside the hive walking around all day in the darkness. And when you're looking for her, you're usually going to spot her because you see a circle of bees with one bee in the center. And those are her attendants. They're the ones that are following her around, cleaning up after her and feeding her. And we here have mostly Italian and German queens. And those Italian ones in particular are kind of like a caramel colored. They're not yellow with black stripes. They're like a light brown and have no stripings on them at all. And so that's a big way to be able to tell whether it's a queen bee or a worker bee that you're looking at. Now, with the German bees that we have, they're black with tan stripes, and so it's a lot harder to spot the queen because sometimes those bees will have stripings on her. And that's pretty much all we have here in Hawaii for honeybees. Those are the only two kinds of bees that they've shipped in from the mainland, and we are now under restrictions that you cannot ship honeybees into Hawaii. So the queen, she pretty much is done with men after a day or two. Spends the rest of her life a slave to the hive, laying eggs. And the only time she will leave the hive is maybe once a year when the bees swarm. And that's when the hive gets really full. And when the hive is too crowded, the bees will start to make a new queen. Before that new queen hatches, half of the bees in the hive will take off with the queen and start a hive somewhere else. So now you have two small hives instead of that one large beehive. When the queen takes off, she is surrounded by thousands of her daughters. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but sometimes there are a few funny photos of beekeepers or people just with their head or a part of their body covered in bees. And how you do that is you take the queen bee from a hive, and you put her in a cage so she can't get out, and you put that somewhere on your body. And if you're standing near the beehive, eventually all of the bees will smell their queen's pheromones and will march up your body and surround her. So that's because the queen bee, once she's recognized by her hive as their queen, they will go wherever she goes. If she leaves the hive, they will follow her. She releases this pheromone inside the hive that it just pretty much communicates to the bees what's going on in the hive. If she's not doing well, the bees know because of this pheromone. And if a bee from another hive tries to get in, the guard bees at the entrance know that this bee is an intruder because she will smell like a queen from another hive. So this pheromone is very important. And it's one reason why there's only one queen bee in the hive. You have multiple queens that can mess up with the pheromones being distributed inside the hive. That being said, I have seen hives with two queens in them. Actually, it's not that uncommon as you might think. If a hive is about to swarm, they're making a new queen, and then all of a sudden they get a whole bunch of rain for a few days. That new queen hatches, the current queen with all of her daughters couldn't take off, and now you have two queens in the hive. Usually when you see two queens in the hive, it's temporary, and eventually the old queen will take off, and the new queen will remain. It might take a few days or a few weeks, but usually eventually the bees figure it out, and only one queen remains. So other than that one or two occasions a year when bees swarm, the queen is inside the hive in the dark laying eggs, and that is it. Now this queen, she can live years, but as she gets older and older, she lays fewer and fewer eggs. She never goes out and mates again, so all of those eggs all of that sperm she stored up from that mating flight she went on, that sperm, her supply is getting lower and lower. So she maybe could have laid 2,000 eggs a day when she was just a couple months old, but now that she's a year and a half, she might be laying only 500 eggs a day. Now there's different beekeepers have different ways of doing things. In most commercial operations, they will kill their queen. They call it pinching her. And they will get rid of the queen in their hives every year and replace her with a brand new queen. And that's because they want a queen that's going to lay 2,000 eggs a day, not a queen that's a year old that's going to be laying maybe 1,000 eggs a day. But if you're just a hobbyist beekeeper, a lot of beekeepers just let the bees figure it out. And some beekeepers wait until they notice a difference within the queen and that she's not doing well, and then they will replace her themselves. It's really up to each person to decide. Personally, I usually let them figure it out. Unless I'm noticing an obvious decline in the hive, then I will replace her if necessary. I really hate pinching the queens. It's an awful feeling. I've woken up with nightmares the next day. After I've had to pinch the numerous queens. So this queen, after she gets to be a certain age and she's not so fertile, the worker bees will kill her and they'll replace her with a new queen. I think the most interesting things that I've learned about bees is how they get rid of their queen, this whole replacement process. It's really just a total Game of Thrones kind of situation. So when the queen isn't fertile enough or sick, or for whatever reason she's not laying enough eggs for the bees' liking, they kill her. And there isn't just one bee's job to be that assassin and to kill the queen. They collectively kill her. They call it balling the queen, and they literally all surround her and make a big ball around her. It's been actually quite a few times that I've opened a hive and caught them doing this, and it's awful because the queen's usually making this beeping sound, like this like kind of sound, and this is awful, and I've broken it up, but I just know that they're going to go right back to doing what they were doing as soon as I close the beehive. So when they ball the queen, either they will sting her multiple times or they will vibrate their flight muscles and produce so much heat that they cook her. And when they do that, some honeybees are going to die in the process because whatever bees are closest to the queen are also getting the same amount of heat. But it's really interesting that there's no one bee's job to get rid of mom. I don't know if that's better or worse that she dies by being killed by all of her daughters instead of just one. I would think, in theory, that would make it seem worse. Either way, they will kill their queen, but that's once they already have new queens in waiting that are going to be hatching soon. So they don't put all of their eggs in one basket, kill their queen, and then go make a new one and hope that it works out. They start making a new queen before they kill the current one. Now, whether the queen sees these baby queens growing and knows she's on her way out the door or not, we really have no idea. But either way, they will start to make new queens. Now, how honeybees make a queen is they take an egg that the queen laid that would have otherwise turned into a worker bee. So it has to be a fertilized egg. It can be an egg that would have been a drone. And they take this cell and they build it out larger and so that it hangs upside down. Whereas the worker bees will hatch out of the same size cell that a bee would fill up with honey. The queen hatches from it a little bit smaller, but a similar shape to a peanut shell. And so they will take a certain aged egg or larva that are still at the young enough age that they can be turned into a queen. And what they do is they feed that egg and larva royal jelly. Now, all eggs are fed royal jelly, but as soon as it hatches into a larva on day 3, it gets transferred over to a diet of nectar and pollen. But if the bees want to make a queen, they feed that egg into its larva stage just royal jelly. And that difference in diet is what makes this bee turn into a queen than a worker bee. This queen actually only takes 2 weeks to hatch, whereas a worker bee takes 3. And you might think that a queen is something special and she's bigger, so why does she only take 2 weeks? But actually her body's a little bit simpler than the worker bees. She doesn't have that barbed stinger. She doesn't have the gland to produce royal jelly. She doesn't have the hairs on the sides of her legs to gather pollen. Her eyesight isn't as good. She just doesn't have all the body parts that the worker bees do. She's pretty much an egg-laying machine, if you haven't figured that part out by now. So we have this queen bee, and the bees are making these baby queens, and they'll make a bunch. I've seen up to 12 baby queen bees in a hive growing, and they will, once that a baby queen is at a certain age before it hatches, they will kill the current queen, and that baby queen will hatch within a few days usually. The hive, though, has a whole bunch of baby queens, but in the end, the hive only has one adult. Now, how that works is that usually the first queen to hatch, after she hatches, will go around and find all of the queens, the other queen bees that are still in their cell that haven't hatched yet, and she will stab them through their cell and kill them. And that's what her stinger is for. So within the first few minutes of her life, the first thing she does is she kills her sisters. And if multiple queens hatch at the same time, they will eventually meet up in the hive and battle it out. Now again, I've seen multiple queens in a hive, and sometimes they don't kill the mom and the new queen hatches, and sometimes it's multiple newly hatched queen bees in the hive, but in the end, they always just end up with one queen. Just sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Now, once this queen hatches and she's done away with her sisters, she'll walk around the hive for a few days and she'll do what I mentioned in the beginning. She'll go on that mating flight, mate with a whole bunch of guys, and then store up that sperm to lay eggs until her daughters kill her as well. And so that is the story of the queen bee. I hope that this podcast helped clear up some of them. You realize that she's really just a slave to the hive and the mother of the bees. She is not the lady in charge. And then there's quite a bit of drama that goes on between her and her daughters and her sisters. Now, some people are a little horrified by this whole story of the queen bee and how she kills her sisters and she's killed by her daughters and all this stuff. And it does seem a little gruesome, but the best way that, the way I recommend people look at it and the way I like to look at the beehive, because to be honest, as a beekeeper, you're going to accidentally squish bees. And I used to feel so bad about it. I just was afraid to do anything, to touch anything, because I was afraid I was going to squish a bee. And I eventually got over it, and just realize that a beehive is like one super organism. And each bee in that organism is like a cell working towards the benefit of the organism. So it might seem strange that a bee will die after she stings you. And why would she do that? How could it possibly be worth it to lose her life? But each bee is just a cell working for the greater good of the hive. The queen, she is just she's like the reproductive part of the beehive. And so if she's not doing well, the bees have to get rid of her because they need to replace her with a new queen. There's only one reproductive part of that hive, and that's her. And without a healthy reproductive system, this hive isn't going to survive. So they have to, they just can't work as a community that's going to be emotional and feel bad about getting rid of the queen. They have to do what's the best for the hive. And just like we cut our hair and we scrape ourselves or we grow new skin, we grow longer fingernails, it's the same thing with the hive. There are all these different parts that work together to keep that organism alive and going. To not look at each individual bee as its own unique living thing.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out our free book, The 7 Steps to Getting Started Keeping Bees, at our website, beekeepingmadesimple.com.